This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehius Uhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Analysis also confirmed that the contents of the fake COVID vials were non-toxic. In fact, the fake vaccines were more of water than anything else.
That's Dr. Warren Namanya with Uganda's State House Health Monitoring Unit on fake COVID vaccines. Details coming up. Also, Madagascar prosecutors say they have foiled an attempt to assassinate the country's president. And former South African President Jacob Zuma is being allowed to leave prison today to attend his brother's funeral. These stories and more ahead on African News Tonight. But first, our top story. Cameroonian police say they have, for the first time during the pandemic, seized parts of an estimated 2,000 pangolins poached in Cameroon and neighboring Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. Police say travel restrictions had slowed trafficking of the endangered anteater to Asia, where its meat is considered a delicacy and the scales are used in traditional medicine. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
At least 12 bags of pangolin scales and leopard skin are in a police warehouse at Longkak, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital Yaoundé. Claude Mbutu Abesolo, the ranking officer at the police station, says the pangolin scales and leopard skin were seized from traffickers in Yaoundé this week. Abesolo says the traffickers were arrested while preparing to transfer the scales and animal skin to Cameroon's neighbor, Nigeria.
Il s'agit en fait d'un groupe d'individus.
He says the police in Cameroon, Nigeria and Benin are collaborating to track other members of a group of pangolin traffickers operating in the three countries. He says it will not take long for the traffickers to be caught in the police dragnet. He says some of the traffickers have been arrested in Cameroon. Abesolo did not say how many people have been arrested, but said the youngest among the traffickers is 24 years old. He said some of the pangolin scales and leopard skins are either hidden in Cameroon or are being illegally shipped to Nigeria, from where they will be smuggled to Asian countries, especially China. The police said the operation was supported by Cameroon's Forestry and Wildlife Ministry and the Last Great Ape, a conservation group. The group's vice president, Eric Kabata, says close to 2,000 pangolins have been illegally killed in Cameroon in the past 16 months. Ta says the scales are hidden in houses and in the bush. He says with COVID-19 travel restrictions over and police controls relaxed, traffickers are struggling to smuggle pangolin scales out of Cameroon, Gabon, and Equatorial Guinea.
Wildlife traffickers came up to big problems due to the restrained mobility because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But right now, we are seeing a remobilization. We are seeing more and more traffickers in pangolin scales. We are witnessing pangolin scales leaving Cameroon and other Central African countries and moving over to Nigeria, where it is exported to Asian countries.
Carl said villagers in Cameroon who lost their jobs or whose agriculture work took a nosedive due to COVID-19 are selling pangolins to traffickers who kill the animals for their scales. Haruna Nyanji Mbatu is a senior government official, a divisional officer in Yaoundé's first district, where Longkak is. He says the government will make sure those who help traffickers are prosecuted.
Je vais saisir l'occasion pour sensibiliser les autres Camerounais.
He says Cameroonians should report traffickers and reduce poaching. He says pangolins are protected to maintain a balanced ecosystem and save humans and the forest from environmental degradation. Mbatu says Cameroon's government will not spare anyone caught selling or helping to sell pangolin scales. According to Cameroonian wildlife law, anyone found in possession of pangolin scales or parts is considered to have killed the anteater and is liable to prison time of 1 to 3 years and or a payment of up to $20,000. Cameroon reports that pangolins are killed in the Central African states and smuggled to Asian countries where demand is high. Small numbers of pangolins are killed for food. Last year, pangolin scales were removed from the list of ingredients approved for use in traditional Chinese medicine. Animal protection groups said the move was a key step in stamping out trade in pangolins, the world's most trafficked mammal. Last great ape and Cameroon's government say the effort by Chinese authorities has not stopped the slaughter of pangolins in the country. Monkey Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Madagascar prosecutors say they have foiled an attempt to assassinate President Andry Rajoelina. So far, 6 suspects have been arrested. The arrests were made on Tuesday. Diplomatic sources have told the French news agency AFP that 2 of the suspects are French nationals. Madagascar's prosecutor said that there was a plan to eliminate and neutralize political figures, including the president. The extent of the plot or how far advanced it went was not immediately made clear. Andry Rajoelina became president of the Indian Ocean Island country in 2019 after a hard-fought election and a court challenge from his rival. As COVID-19 cases rise in Zimbabwe, the government is making frantic efforts to get ahead of the curve. Among the measures, the government says only 10% of civil servants will work in their offices. Reporter Kuzaza Nwashi has the details.
Jonathan Wutawunashe is the Public Service Commission Secretary. He explains the thinking behind sending 90% of government workers home.
First emphasis is, of course, why are we doing that? The reason why we are doing that is a health reason. We want to reduce the probability of government being paralyzed by rampant infections. We want to decongest the mode of transport that most civil servants use. We have to have a response in terms of our human capital, so that human capital has a chance of staying reasonably safe. When you have people who are away from workstations, who are not traveling about on account of having to go to and fro at least 5 days a week, the others who are at home are to be rotated with those who are at work. On 14-day intervals.
Hardlife Mutsingwa with the Community Water Alliance says the government should have consulted more widely with stakeholders before pushing workers home, a program the government calls decongestion.
Our concern on our part is around water. Though it doesn't fall under the health department, but it's very important division, considering that even one of the key COVID-19 prevention protocols is hand washing with the soap and running water. I think the process of coming up with percentages, the department or sector should have first consulted with stakeholders to get their views.
Mutawunashe with the Public Service Commission says not all departments will reduce staffing by 90%.
Of course, not all government ministries and departments will be reduced to 10%. That's why in our circular, we have said those ministries or departments that will require more personnel should notify the Public Service Commission. There are ministries where we know that it's not possible. If you look at the Ministry of Health.
While some welcome the latest move, other Zimbabweans worry that public services will suffer so that it could be more difficult to register a company or obtain a birth certificate or passport, among other services. World Health Organization figures show COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe have doubled since the end of May to more than 82,000. There have been about 2,500 deaths, up by 1,000 since late May. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashi from Harare.
Former South African President Jacob Zuma has been granted compassionate leave from jail for one day to attend the funeral of his younger brother, Edward. Zuma is serving a 15-month sentence for refusing to testify at a commission of inquiry probing allegations of corruption during his term as president from 2009 to 2018. His imprisonment on July 8th sparked protests, which quickly escalated into violent riots in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng provinces. According to the Associated Press, the death toll in the unrest has now risen to 276, and police are investigating 168 of those as murders. The damage alone in KwaZulu-Natal province is estimated at $1.3 billion. Laboratory tests have shown that the fake COVID-19 vaccines administered to more than 800 Ugandans were 99% water. Officials say most likely distilled water was put into vials similar to those of the AstraZeneca vaccines being used in Uganda's vaccination campaign against COVID-19. Catherine Nambi reports.
After the arrest of two people for scamming hundreds of Ugandans with fake COVID-19 vaccines early this month, the substances in the vials were tested at the Uganda Government Analytical Laboratory. Dr. Warid Namara is the director of Uganda's State House Health Monitoring Unit. He says the tests proved that the fake vaccines were non-toxic. However, they offered no protection against the virus.
That the contents of the seized suspected Covishield vials were not the same as the genuine ones. The analysis also confirmed that the contents of the fake COVID vials were non-toxic. In fact, the fake vaccines were more of water than anything else from the chemical content as it was analyzed. We want the population that received the fake vaccine to understand that you are not poisoned, you are not in danger.
Dr. Namara says the manufacturers of the vaccines used in Uganda say they had nothing to do with the fake shots.
The National Drug Authority forwarded the suspected fake sample to the manufacturer for comparison with the genuine COVID shield vaccine. The Serum Institute of India confirms in their report that indeed the batch number on the fake vaccines were never supplied to Uganda. The Serum Institute in India further confirmed that the labels on the specimens we think were fake were indeed falsified.
He says people who are thought to have received the fake vaccines, most of them staff members of companies, should ensure they get the proper vaccines from official designated locations.
All persons and corporate companies who were vaccinated at a fee, especially within their premises of work by the suspects, are advised to get a free COVID jab at the Ministry of Health approved sites for COVID vaccinations. Please do not use private individuals purporting to be doctors, purporting to be nurses, purporting to be representing Ministry of Health.
The fake vaccines were administered between May 15th and June 17th. One person behind the scam is still at large. Although the Uganda government vaccination is free, the suspected fraudsters were charging between $30 and $60 to administer the vaccine to each individual. Ugandan officials suspect the fake jabs could be the reason for the high rates of COVID deaths among Ugandans who reportedly received the COVID-19 vaccinations. This comes as a number of Ugandans rushed to get vaccinated in the midst of the second deadly wave of cases, which has led to increased fatalities and hospital admissions. Uganda has recorded over 90,000 COVID-19 cases, with 2,412 deaths. So far, about 1.1 million Ugandans have received COVID vaccination. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
The United States is sending 25 million doses of COVID vaccine to Africa to help fight the spread of the coronavirus. The donations follow the pledge by U.S. President Joe Biden to make 80 million vaccine doses available for use around the world. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
Speaking to reporters Wednesday, senior U.S. officials said the first shipments expected in the coming days will see nearly a million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine delivered to Burkina Faso, Djibouti, and Ethiopia. Gail E. Smith is the U.S. State Department's coordinator for global COVID-19 response and health security.
Vaccines are beginning to arrive in Africa now. We're in the process of delivering the 25 million doses, working closely with the African Union, governments, and COVAX to get these on the ground as quickly as possible. On August, the doses that the president committed just before the G7, 500 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, will also start moving in August, and a significant portion of those will also be deployed to Africa.
Smith says the United States is working with partners in Africa to deliver the doses as quickly as possible, contributing to the African Union's target of vaccinating at least 60% of the African population. The World Health Organization says with a fast-moving pandemic, no one is safe until everyone is vaccinated. Vaccination rates remain low in Africa. The senior U.S. health official says urgent action is needed to deliver more doses to the continent.
We're well aware that coverage is low, that this third wave is intense, that the Delta variant is quite strong, and we need to do everything we can in partnership with the people and governments of Africa to get these vaccines out there.
The U.S. donation comes as Africa faces the steepest worldwide surge in COVID-19 cases, and supply challenges have left many countries with large unvaccinated populations. In total, 25 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines will be made available to 49 African countries in the coming weeks through the COVAX vaccine sharing facility. Djibouti, Ethiopia, Burkina Faso, Gambia, and Senegal are among the countries that will receive the first deliveries. Akuna Cook is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs.
We are pleased to be delivering safe and effective vaccine doses across Africa and the world, with many more to come later this week and over the coming weeks and months. And this is just the beginning. Our response is but the latest in a long record of U.S. cooperation with African partners in enhancing Africa's health security, whether through PEPFAR, the President's Malaria Initiative, and so many other areas.
Previously, the U.S. government had already committed to provide 5 million doses to the African Union and low-income countries. Smith dismissed concerns raised about the safety of the vaccines.
We rely on our public health and safety experts, and they have determined that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is safe and effective. There is a very, very minuscule data suggesting that there can be some effects, but it's very, very, very tiny. The positive effects far outweigh any of those. And again, if public health and safety regulators declare a vaccine safe, that's good enough for me.
Additionally, she addressed claims that rich nations are hoarding doses of COVID-19 vaccines while ignoring the plight of millions of poor people in developing countries.
We want to see Africa defeat this pandemic. We want to see Africa be resilient. We are delivering vaccines across the board to make as many vaccines as possible available as quickly as possible. So I think it's also fair to say judge us by our actions.
Strife Masiwa The African Union Special Envoy for COVID-19 Response praised the U.S. government for the support, adding that a number of African countries are witnessing the third wave of the pandemic. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
At least 17 Bengali migrants drowned when their boat sank as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to Italy from Libya. 380 were rescued by the Coast Guard. The Tunisian Red Crescent said the boat was carrying migrants from Syria, Egypt, Sudan, Eritrea, Mali, and Bangladesh. Reuters reports that in recent months, several people have drowned off the Tunisian coast, with the increase in the frequency of attempted crossings to Europe from Tunisia and Libya towards Italy as the weather improves. Hundreds of thousands have made the perilous Mediterranean crossing in recent years, many of them fleeing conflict and poverty in Africa and the Middle East. The Summer Olympic Games do not officially open until tomorrow, but there is already plenty of action, as some competitions already have begun. Here's a quick look at what African athletes are doing in Tokyo. Today, South Africa's men football team takes on Tokyo. The match was in doubt after two South African players tested positive for COVID-19, but went ahead after other team members tested negative. In women's football, the Netherlands routed Zambia 10-3 to open the tournament on Wednesday. Netherlands player Vivian Maidima scored four goals. Barbara Banda scored all three goals for Zambia, which is the lowest-ranked team in the field. And today, Ivory Coast scored a 2-1 win against Saudi Arabia in men's football. Frank Cassie scored the go-ahead goal for Ivory Coast in the 66th minute of play. This is Ivory Coast's first Olympic soccer appearance since 2008. And Donata Katai is set to make history as the first black Zimbabwean swimmer in the Olympics, where she will compete in the 100-meter backstroke. The 17-year-old has beaten records set by fellow Zimbabwean swimmer Christy Coventry, the most decorated Olympian from Africa with seven medals. Katai told the Associated Press that while there are few swimmers of color at the top ranks of swimming in many countries, including the United States, that has changed in her country, where the sports is now dominated by black Zimbabweans. She talks about how she began her swimming career.
Well, I started swimming when I was six, because we had like an infant swimming gala at the school I was at. I think the first record I broke when I was eight at the Les Brown pool was probably the most memorable one for me.
Which one was that?
33 yards butterfly. Because obviously that's when I started, when I kind of realized that I was, you know, good at swimming.
Her coach, Kathy Loeb, says it is every coach's dream to have an athlete in the Olympics, and she brushes off comparisons to Coventry, who competed in the backstroke in four games starting in 2000 and is now Zimbabwe's Minister of Youth, Sports, Art and Recreation.
Each child is an individual, and yes, she does the same stroke as Kirsty, and she's happened to have broken Kirsty's couple of records. But yeah, each child's an individual, and I certainly am not comparing her to Kirsty. You know, I think who knows when she goes to university, she may well change strokes altogether. In America, they pull people onto the team according to what stroke they need, and she's got a very good butterfly as well. At the South Africa Junior Champs, she's won several medals in both backstroke and butterfly. So it may be a change of stroke altogether.
Yeah.
For more Olympic news, be sure to turn into the Sunny Side of Sports wherever you listen to VOA News, or listen on voanews.com. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, thank you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.